Hey there, if you're a fan of The Finest, I'd love to see you at our live taping on Sunday, July 12th at KPBS. Join me and my friends from Port of Entry and Midday Edition for The Art of Protest. We'll explore how advocacy, comedy, art, and storytelling can spark conversation and create change in San Diego. Tickets are on sale now for just $20, and the first 50 people to register get a free t-shirt. Get all the details at kpbs.org/livepod. Just a few weeks ago, Jacob Huang, a senior at UC San Diego, stood on a stage at a crowded amphitheater on campus, pop music blasting behind him, and consumed an entire Kirkland Signature rotisserie chicken. Before he dug in, he delivered a passionate speech about a club devoted to a store.
There is no version of my college experience that makes sense without this club. None. The friendships, the chaos, our founder, the man who looked at the $4.99 rotisserie chicken and saw movements. You started something that on paper makes absolutely no sense. But what you actually built was a home.
This home that Jacob is talking about is the UCSD Costco Club.
Couldn't imagine any other brand, company, or like name to do it under.
Man, I love this company so much.
Jacob is not alone. Around the world, plenty of people seem to genuinely love Costco, a business, a warehouse store.
Costco feels like home. It's comforting. When I stress about finals, I just come to Costco and walk around and you'll feel better.
They were first to start a private label and also, I guess, this community of a cult-like following. There's Facebook group chats of different generations where, like, people just talk about Costco.
They rely on word of mouth, and they're also a place that people love to talk about. Like, they kind of give rise to almost an oral tradition of Costco.
Costco, as a company and a place to shop, inspires an unusual level of devotion. And what may be the key to all of this is that people like Jacob don't just love Costco. They feel like Costco loves them back. Maybe you remember the 2006 movie Idiocracy.
And like one of my favorite scenes is when you go to Costco and this guy wearing a bib is like, "Welcome to Costco, I love you."
Welcome to Costco, I love you. Welcome to Costco, I love you.
Like, I love that. I love that, right?
It's one thing to love your neighborhood bakery or coffee shop, but it's another to feel affection for a company that brings in hundreds of billions of dollars a year. The massive scale Costco operates on is hard to overstate.
There is no shortage of mind-blowing facts to be had when it comes to Costco.
That's reporter Molly Fisher, who recently wrote about Costco for The New Yorker.
In 2022, Costco members bought over $300,000 worth of whole cashews every week.
That's half the world's cashews.
When Costco began sourcing its farmed salmon, of which it buys 600,000 pounds per week, from Norway rather than Chile, it caused an upheaval in the global fishing industry.
By sales, Costco is the third largest retailer in the country, behind only Amazon and Walmart. Plenty of companies sell groceries. Very few inspire such passionate fan clubs. So how did Costco do it? Today, we'll explore what makes it different and why people seem to be so obsessed with it. And we'll tell the story of the business breakthrough that gave birth to Costco right here in San Diego and changed retail in America forever.
San Diego feels to me like it's, in the real sense, the cradle of Costco.
And we'll also meet a group of students who today have made Costco their rallying point. And they built community at a college infamously known as UC Socially Dead.
Costco Club was the only club that actually gave me a shot at like letting me be who I want to be. I think that's why I love like just the company, but also like the fact that not only do they help facilitate and build community in my like college experience, but they do that with their staff.
From KPBS Public Media, this is The Finest, a podcast about the people, art, and movements redefining culture in San Diego. I'm Julia Dixon Evans.
At 10 o'clock, they're happy. How is she dead 2 hours later?
When a San Diego police officer is found dead in her home, who investigates? Follow One of Their Own, a new podcast from KPBS, wherever you listen.
On a spring Sunday morning, just before finals started, producer Anthony and I meet Jacob in a parking lot on campus where the group is starting to assemble for a regular Costco run, their last of the school year.
Julia.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, no.
I feel like I'm in the presence of a celebrity.
I just eat rotisserie chickens and help people go to Costco. So.
All right, I want to paint a picture right now. I see like the Costco logo three times. You have a Costco club shirt.
Yes.
Name tag, and
yes.
Also your Costco tattoo.
Yes.
You heard that correctly. Jacob has a tattoo of the Costco logo on his bicep.
Like, people think I was crazy for getting a tattoo. My best friends were like, Jacob, like, this might be the dumbest idea you've ever had. But I doubled down because this was by far, like, probably the best investment I've ever had. And because of the fact that we sent an email photo of this to the CEO and he loved it, he thought it was funny.
The UCSD Costco Club has actually become something of a sensation. It launched in 2022 with a rotisserie chicken eating event, which has become a beloved annual tradition on campus. Thousands of students came out to see the club's founder eat an entire Costco chicken in public. And videos went so viral that the club insists it caused an actual bump in applicants to the university. The club was there for Jacob when he started at UCSD. It was super inclusive and easier to be part of than most clubs.
My first year, I was an absolute reject, like trying to be a part of a club, trying to be a part of leadership, student leadership on campus, and all these pre-business, pre-professional organizations or whatever. It either I didn't click or I was just an absolute reject. Costco Club, again, in spring quarter of my first year, it was that foundation where I could find my space in my collegiate career.
By his second year at UCSD, Jacob became president of the Costco Club, a title he's proudly held for 3 years. Under his leadership, the group's continued its annual chicken eating event, and they've developed an official relationship with Costco, which donated 60 chickens to the party this year. But perhaps most importantly, they're true to their roots, bringing students together on regular Costco runs.
And what we do is we help students get groceries in bulk while making friends, making lovers, and making that community.
Most runs draw a few dozen students, sometimes upwards of 50.
We hedge the system so that we can get everyone in under like one membership or two.
But with the school term winding down, ours is a smaller one. Most of the students on our run had never met before.
Introduce yourselves.
I'm Madison. This is my first time.
This is Satwick. This is my fifth time driving for Costco Club.
I am Jeff, and this is my first ever Costco run. Like, I've always seen Costco Club from the first time I came to UCSD. I just wanted to like join because I love Costco.
I haven't even been to Costco before.
Oh, are you serious?
I am serious. I've never been to a Costco before.
Wait, this is great. So I'll show you guys a real American Costco experience for sure. I'll send a text message when we'll meet at the front, okay?
Okay, sure.
Awesome. All right, drive safe, and I'll see you guys, all right?
We pile into each of the designated driver's cars and head out. Since Jacob is graduating, this is his very last Costco run as club president. While we drive, Anthony asks him about his plans for the future.
I will be the next CEO of Costco. Mark my words,
At least according to Jacob's manifestations, he'll one day take over from current Costco CEO Ron Vacras.
Like, he's a very humble guy, in my opinion, from like, he's like one of my idols because he started out as a part-time forklift driver.
Vacras is only Costco's third CEO since the company officially formed in the 1980s. By comparison, McDonald's has had 9 CEOs in the same time period. Costco's famous for its low employee turnover and stable workplace culture. Part of Costco's mythology is that its leaders start at the bottom and work their way up, devoting their lifetimes to the company. Like Vacras drove a forklift, Costco's first leader, the legendary Jim Sinegal, started out as a bagger.
Would you take a job like that? Would you, like, start from scratch at Costco?
If it meant I had a shot at being CEO, I would do it without hesitation. Mm-hmm. I'm serious.
But for now, Jacob is still chief executive of the Costco Club. And if part of Costco's secret is making community among its employees or among its customers who bond over it, Jacob's current role is good preparation. On the drive, longtime club member Rohan reflects on the legendary chicken-eating events the club hosts.
This is something. Like they say UC socially dead, but can you really call it socially dead when there's a man eating chicken in front of the library and everybody's watching?
People were saying that they ditched exams to go to the event. Incoming students said they committed to the university because of the club. But because we're able to facilitate and combat the stigma of being UC socially dead and making community. Like, two of the founders that I actually worked under when I was a first year, they're engaged now. Wow. And there's countless number of like students in the Costco Club that, you know, have gotten in relationships, and it's beautiful. It's like, so not only can you find friendships, we can find love at Costco Club. For those that are listening at home or on the bathroom toilet, we have just arrived at the Marina Boulevard Costco 401 parking lot, and now we're about to meet up at the front and go in as a team.
The Marina Boulevard warehouse in San Diego, just inland of Pacific Beach, occupies a special place in Costco history. And who better to bring us up to speed than the New Yorker journalist Molly Fisher, who became our Costco expert as we prepared for the run. Like so many, Molly grew up going to Costco. Her own family shopping trips are core childhood memories.
Costco was something I felt a real sense of atavistic loyalty and connection to. And so when it came up internally over here, just that there was interest in doing a Costco story, I immediately pounced and said, if there's a Costco story, I will be the one writing it.
And her reporting on that story led her to this very same Costco on Marina Boulevard.
It felt really important to visit San Diego because, you know, it's the place where the people who would go on to found Costco, and they got their start in retail there working for Saul Price.
Saul Price was a lawyer in the San Diego area. In the 1950s, he learned about an LA store called Fedco.
The deal with Fedco was that you had to be a federal employee to shop there, but you could get great discounts. You had to be a member.
A megastore with a membership. Fedco had prices so cheap, they were almost illegal. Back at that time, there were minimum prices for certain goods, enforced by law. But with its membership program, Fedco got around those rules. And Saul Price and some friends loved the concept so much, they wanted to bring it to San Diego.
So they started a company of their own called FedMart. And FedMart kind of was in some ways the template for a lot of things that would eventually distinguish Costco.
After FedMart took off, Saul Price's next venture was an even bigger version of that same business model, and not just for government employees. He called this one Price Club. Price Club's first location was that converted airplane hangar on Marina Boulevard. The big breakthrough that Price Club made was wholesaling.
So not just selling larger packages, but selling, in fact, you know, the wholesale pallet size package of canned beans or rice or toilet paper or what have you.
And by Saul Price's side through much of it was Jim Sinegal, who'd started working at FedMart as a teenager.
kind of rose through the ranks of the company. You know, he's kind of this legendary figure. People really talk about him in reverent terms.
Eventually, Jim Sinegal left San Diego and started his own wholesale warehouse store in Seattle called Costco. Years later, Costco and Price Club merged, creating the beloved company shoppers know today. Saul Price and Jim Sinegal dialed in the supply chains built on efficiency and minimizing cost. And they made money less so by selling goods at a steep profit and more by selling memberships. And they made the customer experience so good that more than 90% renew each year.
Jim Sinegal, he very much cultivates this man of the people image as CEO. You know, he famously takes relatively modest compensation compared to CEOs of other companies that are successful on the scale of Costco. He always is photographed wearing a Costco name tag, just like any warehouse employee.
Sinegal and Price's stripped down, humble approach helped create a company that holds this seemingly bizarre place in so many people's hearts.
There's something about the sheer blandness of Costco's affect, like the fact that it is a warehouse, that it is this sort of anonymous space, makes it a place that people kind of project onto. So I think people do think of it as, you know, their place, even when it's Costco.
Coming up, we step inside Costco with people who certainly think of it as their place. We'll see what happens when a group of strangers spends a Sunday morning at Costco together. And we'll try to answer the question, why are people so obsessed with Costco? Stay with us.
Before a producer hits record or before a journalist picks up a pen, someone like you notices something and wants to understand it. Every day, we invite you to keep asking questions like why and who and how. Because NPR begins with questions, not conclusions. And your right to curiosity is a right worth protecting.
The morning of our run, the Marina Boulevard Costco parking lot is bustling, as always, but not yet packed.
Yes, this is the OG. This is where warehouse wholesale, like, pretty much was birthed.
It looks pretty nice. Like, this looks very nice. I saw the menu and I thought, wow, they got a good selection. And for, like, what, $2.50?
I'm going to try a double chunk chocolate cookie today.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to try our calzone.
Resisting the food court, for now, we scan our membership cards and set foot inside. Our new friend Madison is blown away by her first ever look at the interior of a Costco.
Oh my God, the shelves are huge. There's so many boxes. Oh my God, is this a slushy maker?
That's the Ninja slushy maker right there.
Oh my goodness, this looks amazing. I love slushies. That's a sauna. Wait, hold on. Let me see that.
As we wandered through the warehouse, a baby in a shopping cart waved to us and put some of our group in a nostalgic mood, remembering being pushed around in Costco carts by their own parents.
When I was a kid, like, after church, my dad would be like, oh, we're going to go get food after. I'm like, oh, like, where? Like, Costco. I'm like, what? I'm like, what? It's like, yeah, the free sample. I was like, oh, okay.
When I go to Costco, it feels like going home. It's like, it's all the same all over the world. It's like the layout, the food court, everything just feels the same. So when I'm homesick, I go to Costco.
I might sound like super obsessed, I know, but like after midterms and exams, I would literally come to Costco as like a de-stressor.
But for the UCSD club members, the appeal is more than nostalgia. It's also the prices. They feel like they're getting pretty much the best deal possible. Costco hot dogs, for example, have cost $1.50 since the 80s, and it comes with a drink. Rohan reminded us of a famous Jim Sinegal quote about that deal. When another executive complained that the price was too low, Jim reportedly said, quote, if you raise the price of the hot dog, I'll kill you. Figure it out.
That type of mentality where it's for the customer. Like
any business, and for just a few more bucks than the hot dog is the item that made UCSD's Costco Club famous.
Oh, the chickens.
$4.99. Yeah, the rotisserie chicken.
Angie, the employee working the rotisserie chicken station, noticed Jacob's Costco Club shirt.
Oh, that's cute. I like it.
Do you like working at Costco?
Yeah, I love it. It's Yeah. I've almost been 20 years in December. Yeah, it's a great company.
Yeah, why do you love it?
Why do I love it? Because...
Why have you stayed?
Because even though I was a single parent, I was able to raise my daughter. So they work with my schedule. Yeah, and I was able to be present in my daughter's life. That's so awesome. I can't complain.
That's very touching.
You can make so many things with this chicken, you know?
Ooh, what's the best?
You can make enchiladas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Enchiladas.
This workplace culture Angie's talking about is something Costco's famous for. And Molly says it's especially interesting to the many business professors who study Costco.
You know, there are several people who I spoke to who have written about the way that treating employees as Costco does, that is to say, compensating them fairly, making sure they have solid benefits, things like health insurance, that they're able to build long-term careers with the company, you know, stay there for a long time, learn skills, kind of create a stable, competently run environment for the shopper. You know, these are experts who make the case that those practices actually help the company to be more productive and so be more profitable.
Costco's business model is hugely influential, but not all its imitators took this philosophy to heart.
Sam Walton, one of the founders of Walmart, has spoken a number of times over the years about how he feels like he stole a lot of his ideas from Saul Price. But they retain, even as their business models are sometimes similar, they retain a very different attitude toward their workforce, for one thing. You know, if you have a workforce where you're having to train new workers all the time because there's tons of turnover because people can't afford to live on what you're paying them, that's the kind of cost that, you know, a company like Walmart is just eating. They've decided that it's easier to treat workers as disposable than to try to cultivate them over the long term. Costco has decided to take a different approach and, you know, tries to really sustain long-term employment because it believes that it will be able to better serve customers that way.
Clearly, Costco has lots of passionate fans and admirers, but it's also a massive company and, of course, far from perfect. And some worry it's losing what made it so special in the first place. Molly's article had the headline, "Can the Golden Age of Costco Last?" There are questions about whether Costco's model and commitment to their employees can endure as the company gets even more powerful. Some 18,000 Costco workers nationwide are unionized, some warehouses since the Price Club days. That could signal that some of the beloved workplace culture is the result of workers fighting for it. In 2025, a strike over unfair wages and benefits was averted at the last minute. Just days before the strike, Costco announced raises across the board. Molly spoke to employees who said that Costco's workplace culture had changed and that the family feeling among workers had faded. One union leader stated, "This isn't Jim Senegal's Costco anymore." But despite recent conflicts, Molly says most are holding on to their faith in Costco.
I think it's too soon to tell what will come of all that. But I was struck, again, in talking to people who were involved in those efforts or who were watching them with interest and approval from other locations by how much of people's investment in the unionization effort had to do with a sort of really deeply held and genuine seeming belief in Costco and said sort of idealism about what Costco should be, you know?
That idealized view of a company gets to the heart of our biggest question about this Costco craze.
Why would you say that people are so obsessed with Costco?
I'm trying to think of how best to distill this. You know, I think part of it is, as one devoted Costco shopper and also Costco employee told me, people have attached a certain sense of their morals or identity to Costco. I think that more than a lot of companies, it's a company that people do think of as doing the right thing, doing right by its employees, you know, ultimately being in some sense a force for good in the world. And there aren't a lot of major retailers about which you can say that. You know, I think people sense that they are getting a good deal, but also not actively making the world a worse place goes a long way toward insinuating Costco into their hearts.
Today
for the fridge.
Oh wait, I spot our first sample, everyone.
Hey. These are good. Baru nut. Have you ever heard of these?
Never heard of this.
That's new.
It's like new as a concept.
I just didn't think I would ever like really discover a new nut at this point in my life.
Anyway, I'm getting some. We can all try them.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. We have the Mountain Valley Glass Sparkling Water, 12-pack, 750 milliliter for $21.49. All right, bottoms up, everyone.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Cheers.
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 Costco Run 24.
We loaded up a shared cart with all of our purchases and checked out in batches.
$9.99.
Then we end our run how every Costco Club run ends, at the food court. As everyone digs in, Jacob hangs back and watches, honestly kind of reminding me of a proud dad.
It's the fact that they're coming to Costco, getting the best deals available, as well as like collaborating with one another, or even like an absolute stranger in the group, splitting toilet paper or splitting a rotisserie chicken or whatever, right? So.
How'd you like the experience of coming with the group?
Really fun.
Yeah?
Mm.
Okay.
I got to know the ropes of all this mm-hmm. whole place.
Is it hard to make friends on campus at UCSD?
For me, I guess, yeah. Because I'm more like a loner type student. It's just like, I've never been to like an outing like this before.
Mm. Do you want to keep coming? Like, next year?
Uh-huh. Hoping to.
Yeah, Costco Club, it's just... Going to Costco with like friends, you can just like browse everything and you get different recommendations.
Also, yeah, I didn't know those nuts were existed before, but then like she just bought those and shared it with us, and it was pretty good. It was like peanuts. I'll get some next time when they're on sale too.
That's kind of nuts. I made that pun twice. You can edit it out in the recording.
We'll keep it at that time.
And as Jacob watched them reflect on their Sunday morning together, the hopeful next CEO of Costco knew that his last UCSD Costco Club run was a success. It's easy to brush this off as a novelty, the college club devoted to a store, or Jacob himself with his Costco tattoo. But the appeal of Costco Club isn't really the warehouse or even the chicken. It's what our new friend Jeff told us earlier, that Costco feels like home. And this trip wasn't really about shopping. It was about having a reason to show up, spend time together, and turn a routine errand into something more. No one at that food court table was friends before the run that day.
Look, over here. But these absolute strangers, at the start of the event, everyone was quiet and timid, right? But now look, they're all mingling. This is beautiful. It's beautiful. This is what like I strive for. Like this is why I do it. This is why I do this.
Special thanks to Molly Fisher, Jacob Huang, and our UC San Diego Costco Club Run companions, Jeff, Madison, Rohan, and Satwick, and to Angie at Costco. Thank you also to KPBS's Laura McCaffrey for braving the rotisserie chicken eating contest. Check out that video on our episode webpage. The Finest is a production of KPBS Public Media in San Diego. I'm your host, Julia Dixon Evans. Our producer is Anthony Wallace, who also composed the score. Ben Redlask is our engineer, and Chrissy Nguyen is our editor. This episode was written and researched by Anthony and me.
Before a producer hits record or before a journalist picks up a pen, someone like you notices something and wants to understand it. Every day, we invite you to keep asking questions like why and who and how. Because NPR begins with questions, not conclusions. And your right to curiosity is a right worth protecting.